of property ownership or lack of interest if these permanent improvements are not made now while the LID resources are available. Without making the permanent improvements of paving the street, adding curbs, sidewalks, and lighting, these chronic crime and livability nuisances will continue to flourish in the no man's land that currently exists and continue to require repeat police response. On the other hand, making these street improvements combined with the continued partnership of crime prevention, Portland police, and surrounding business properties working together to abate the crime and disorder on Winchell should result in a safer, more livable street with a side benefit of reduced calls for police service. Thank you.
Questions? Commissioners? Is there anyone signed to testify on this matter?
Yes, we have about four more people signed up.
Okay.
First three are Gene Sorensen, Victor Miha, and John Damon. That's Gene Sorensen, Victor, it's M-E-J or H-I-A, and John Damon.
Yes.
Mejia, thank you. Sorry.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, council members and Mayor Tom Potter. My name is Jeannie Crystal Sorensen. I am one of the property owners of 240 Northeast Columbia Boulevard, and I'm testifying this morning on the proposed improvement project. After thorough study and much discussion, we, the property owners of 240 Northeast Columbia Boulevard, have decided the fairest and most equitable assessment is a blended estimate, which is a 50% square footage and 50% linear footage for all property owners. We want to work with the city to improve Northeast Winchell Street. We feel that the accessible linear footage estimate is not fair to all property owners. And thank you for your time.
My name is Victor Mejia. I am with Meadow Sweet Farms and been designated to speak on behalf of the ownership of our company. Can I read something that Craig Flintoff, one of the owners of our company, brought out? He says, our position on the LID is to oppose the project as currently funded. At the last council meeting, the council did direct Andrew Abbey to blend the linear square footage and present that as a viable option. With that method, we would accept the $38,000 assessment. It appears that they will go forward with the linear assessment and bill us for the $66,713 assessment. We find this option not financially viable to our operation and oppose the formation of the LID as such. My comments are, gentlemen, are I see that Mr. Abbey came with two of our finest in blue. I assure you that we are very friendly people. And we are businessmen that are, quite frankly, in the business that we are in, as well as craft, we are in a very sensitive time as far as business is concerned and are really concerned about the sensitivity of our current markets as they stand. We are restricted by commodity markets that are very, very much out of control at this particular time in our industry. We do, though, agree that there are things that need to be done to this road and are not opposed to these types of things. However, some of the numbers that have been arrived at are a concern to us as business owners because, frankly, there's a plan and there's a dollar amount set to something that we have no visible plan to see. If I was building my home and I got these numbers with no plan, that person would be asked to leave because it's not acceptable, and we view it in that particular manner. Again, we feel that as three companies, we are trying to work this out in an amicable situation. But however, we are looking at this from a purely financial standpoint to all of our companies and how we're affected by these things. Again, we recognize that it does pose problems. As far as the street is concerned, and we do want to be good neighbors to each other as well as be abiding to our police department in the job that they have to do. Frankly, there are some areas that we're a little concerned about, or me personally am concerned about as far as addressing some of these concerns, and I've had that conversation with Mr. Abbey as well. So this is our stand that we remonstrate against this.
Good morning. My name is John Damon. I'm the plant manager of the Kraft Nabisco Bakery. I represent 350 employees, union employees, that make Oreos, Chips Ahoy, Wheat Thins, Ritz, premium crackers, and cookies. We are in favor of the LID under its current assessment. The one thing that I would say after talking with our neighbors is that I would urge you to talk to the city engineers and look at limiting the scope so that the cost of this project is acceptable to everybody instead of looking at reassessment.
Thank you. Yeah, folks. I mean, I follow up on that. Or what would you want to see?
Well, Meadow
Suite. What do you see that's in the scope that you would see is not necessary?
Can I?
Yeah, you can.
Can I speak to that? There are some projects that have been under place in Portland. Currently, there's a project over by OMSI that has been in place there. There's blended curbings that there's there. There's right-of-ways of traffic that work extremely well there. If you've had an opportunity to see that project, that is a very, very busy intersection of property right there, and the flow is absolutely perfect. There are no formal sidewalks. However, there is pedestrian markings, there's bicycle markings, and if you go there, you'll see where truck parking is extremely adequate. And it looks as though that project, although I don't know the formal costing of that project makes quite a bit more sense for the type of building and assessments or type of building and project that we have as far as our three locations are concerned. We don't get a lot of pedestrian traffic in those areas.
So is that your way of saying take out the sidewalks?
Pretty much. It's a nice way of putting it.
I just happened to just see that portion you're describing by OMSI.
Uh-huh.
So you would, I know what you're talking about, that there was actually designated bike lanes and mm-hmm. whatnot. So in the area you're talking about, where would that happen at?
That would be on Winchell itself.
On Winchell itself.
And why? I'm not sure why it wouldn't work on Mallory also if part of this project is going to be going onto Mallory. They're soft curbs that allow for access to trucks that need to go into businesses. We want to be accommodating at Meadow Suite to a number of trucks that come into the area. The people at Kraft have a number of trucks. I have a number of trucks, and we need to accommodate those things to the best of our ability. And there's a limited amount of space, obviously, for parking. And how can we accommodate?
So the soft curbs are the more rolled curbs.
Yeah, and allows
no sidewalks.
Sorry, Commissioner.
I'm just trying to tick through, because we only have so much time here. Mm-hmm. So soft curbs, no sidewalks. Any other way to get the cost down that you, ideas? I mean, you live with the project, or you live with the street every day.
Yeah, and typically what we see, it's just traffic that is moving from MLK or Columbia Boulevard.
No, any other way to get the cost down?
Yeah, just soft curbs, no planter boxes if that's necessary, if that's acceptable to city planners. We have not had any formal plan that's been brought to us to show us any other alternative. We are trying to form plans within our layman's minds on how these projects work with nothing that's been presented to us. And this is what our concern is.
So your concern is you've been presented with one alternative only.
And we just got that one within the last couple of days.
No sidewalks.
I'm not sure if that one shows a sidewalk. I believe it does show a sidewalk on.
I think it does show sidewalks. You said you were presented with an alternative.
No, we were have not.
I guess I meant one proposal.
Gotcha.
And so we're looking at that as where.
So maybe Andrew, if you could come up and take one of the mics, so we can have a conversation here. So are there things we can do to get the cost of the project down?
Thank you, Commissioner. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. I guess I'd like to start by setting a little bit of a broad context here, which is it's not uncommon on an LID to identify items that look like discretionary items and think that by dropping those items, there's a big cost saving. Traditionally, we do not normally see large cost savings by dropping sidewalks from a project, particularly if we have all the right-of-way we need, which we don't have for the stormwater drainage, but we have for the sidewalk piece. So traditionally, we do not find that dropping sidewalks in a flat area like this is going to save a lot of money. Now, maybe if you go to Southwest Portland,
so usually
it might be different.
Usually, if I recall correctly, our per block sidewalk charges are generally about $25,000 a block, if I recall correctly, more or less.
More or less, yeah. So, I mean, you're looking
What about soft curbs?
I haven't ever done a soft curb project, so I don't have the cost figures on that. But just to put the $25,000 in perspective, that's about 4 or 5% of the total project cost. So, you know, if we move ahead with this project now and get going on it sooner, have economies of scale, build it sooner, you know, that could easily, you know, provide more financial relief than dropping the sidewalks. I would also add that these design parameters are not come up with in a vacuum. We've obviously done a lot of outreach with the pedestrian community, among others. We have design guidelines. The city engineer ultimately has jurisdiction. But I guess the one other point I need to make is I have a lot of people around the city who live on streets that don't have sidewalks who come to me later and say, you know, I've got pavement in front of my house. I have curbs. I really wish we had sidewalks. Now, getting back to this particular location, the concern that we had about not putting in sidewalks is we know that there will be parking on the street, you know, potentially truck parking, for example, in the middle of the night. If it's the middle of the winter and it's raining and it's dark, you've got trucks parking on the street. They're waiting to get into Kraft when they open up their delivery gate. We want them walking on a sidewalk or queuing on the sidewalk. We don't want them walking out in the middle of the street and not providing a pedestrian facility.
Are we doing planter boxes or anything like that?
We are proposing a planting strip on the north side of the street.
Planting strip, but not planter boxes.
Not planter boxes per se. And I would just call your attention to Exhibit B. That has a typical section that proposes the scope of the project. And Exhibit E, by the way, has a line item by line item breakdown of where all the costs are. But really, I have to emphasize in closing, I mean, we have a certain degree of flexibility moving forward, and the commitment I made to the property owners is the first thing we would do if the LID got formed is we would survey it, come back with something, have a property owner meeting and have discussions with them, and consult with the city engineer, and Commissioner, I would be happy to, you know, check in with your office in terms of how the design proceeding.
So this is a scenario intended to help get better cost estimates?
Yes.
We have flexibility in terms of soft curbs in places or...
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I raised concerns about the impact that this was going to have on these small businesses at the last hearing. So my interest is, if I'm going to support this, is that you work diligently to look at ways to reduce costs for the other businesses that this is going to affect. And if it means saving money by doing cost soft curbs that don't endanger people, that's what I would support having done, or whatever needs to be done to keep the cost down, but still address the police issue of trying to reduce the crime and the other things that have been attendant to this area. So, I mean, my specific request is you focus real hard more than on more projects trying to reduce the cost.
And I would be very happy to check in with Commissioner Adams' office on how the design is progressing and keep you apprised and let you make the decision. It's ultimately council's decision what the scope of the project is. What we're just simply trying to do is give people an idea of what they're buying. You know, are they buying a 36-foot wide street, or are they buying a 26-foot wide street, et cetera, where we have a code requirement to give them a general character and scope. So I think as long as we adhere to the basic parameters of what we're proposing, we certainly have flexibility as we go through the design process.
So this would also just echo the need for flexibility on this and try to get the cost down, you know, not shifted anymore, but absolute project cost down. And I think, you know, I know we have street codes and all those things that dictate sort of how these designs come together, but I also think, particularly given the location of this street, that we need to have some flexibility applied to it.
My name is Jeannie Crystal Sorensen, and as one of the owners of property 240 Northeast Columbia Boulevard, we have not received any design at all. I know our neighbor has, but we haven't received anything. All we know is what the figure is, and that's it.
Is that accurate, Andrew?
Well, and this is the first time I've had the pleasure of meeting you, but the way the LID process is, we don't start the design until we know that we have a real project. So the idea here is start off with the general scope, but again, if council approves this project, we will very much be in communication with the property owners.
You haven't given some design to Kraft.
Pardon?
You have not given some design to
Kraft. We've had property owner meetings. We've talked about the typical section and what it was we were proposing in terms of the width of the street, the sidewalk.
These property owners invited to that?
Yes.
I believe my husband represented us because I was unable to attend, but we still did not receive the copy that our neighbor here has.
Was that distributed at the meeting, Andrew?
I don't have a copy of it right here with me, but I had an agenda for the meeting that laid out what the costs were and also what the scope was, how wide the street was going to be, how wide the side. So I'll be happy to provide a copy of that.
So does this, just so I'm clear, it's a part of my job, I'm still learning, does the final design come back to the City Council for approval?
Normally, we wouldn't come back to council for a formal hearing. What I would suggest, Commissioner, is maybe I could check in with your office, and code does not require a council hearing, but certainly if you want to bring it back to council, that's certainly your prerogative to do that if the other council members are comfortable delegating that to you.
I'm happy to bring it back if you guys
want. Well, I would be comfortable if you just were focused on the comments that you heard, particularly from Commissioner Saltzman and I, and which I think you share.
Sure.
That I don't necessarily need to look at it again. I have full confidence that you would make sure that the project be done as efficiently and economically and without as many frills as it is all possible, but still meeting the need of the police bureau and others.
You have my commitment.
Thank you.
It's not an emergency and moves to a second reading.
We might have one more person to testify.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Was there a James R?
Could you repeat the name?
James. It looks like James and just the initial R.
Okay. Did not respond, so we'll move to a second reading. Please read item 840.
Adopt the recommendations in the Markham Hill Traffic Calming Plan.
Commissioner Adams.
We have a number of staff folks that have been working on this project that will give us an overview followed by a council consideration whether or not to move forward with the resolution 840 in your packet.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. My name is Wendy Colley. I'm with the Portland Office of Transportation and the project manager for the Markham Hill Traffic Calming Plan. Also up here is Anton Vetterlein, who is a citizen advisory committee member for this project, and Will Stevens, who is the speed bump program manager for the City of Portland. I'd just like to start with a brief overview of this project. I do have a short PowerPoint presentation to introduce the project to you. A little background. In the Markham Hill plan, there were some traffic calming priorities identified. They were reiterated in the aerial tram report. During aerial tram proceedings, City Council directed that a traffic calming study be pursued on Markham Hill. OHSU agreed to fund 70% of that study. PDOT picked up the remaining 30%. The project streets include Southwest Bancroft, Condor Avenue, Condor Lane, Hamilton Street, Hamilton Terrace, Viewpoint Terrace, and 6th Avenue Drive, Bancroft Homestead. This is a map of the area. As you can see, OHSU is in the north west corner of the map, and it's bounded to the east by Barber Boulevard. Terwilliger cuts right through. Hamilton Street is on the south end, and Condor Avenue is on the north end. The project streets are in yellow here. To start out the process, we had held an area-wide meeting. We selected a citizens advisory committee. Over the course of a year, we ended up having 8 citizen advisory committee meetings, 2 area-wide public meetings. We held 2 internal PDOT technical advisory committee meetings, and we ended the process with speed bump support petitions for streets that speed bumps were recommended for. Folks that were involved in the process were the Homestead Neighborhood Association, South Portland Neighborhood Association, the Southwest Hills Residential League, OHSU, Veterans Administration Medical Center, Friends of Terwilliger, the Portland Fire Bureau, Portland Parks, and TriMet. Throughout the public involvement, several issues rose to the top. The ones that that seem to be of highest concern were high volumes of vehicles on local streets from cut-through traffic from the institutional uses on the hill. Basically, people that were working up on the hill or needed to access the hill were using residential streets to get there. Another concern was the speed of those vehicles traveling on the residential streets. Another was bicycle auto conflicts at Condor Lane and Terwilliger. There have been reports or anecdotal evidence of conflicts at that location. And then lastly, the lack of pedestrian amenities in the area as far as sidewalk connections being complete. The project goals are to influence auto traffic to use the arterials to access Markham Hill rather than local streets, slow down the cars that are using the local streets in the area, and enhance safety for residents, pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists. So after a year of meeting about this project, the CAC worked very hard and came up with recommendations that they then presented to the neighborhood at an area-wide meeting in February. Their recommendations, the CAC recommendations, are to provide speed bumps on 6th Avenue, Bancroft, and Homestead, Condor Avenue, Hamilton Street, and Hamilton Terrace. They're also suggesting or recommending that curb extensions be constructed at the intersection of Hamilton Terrace and Hamilton Street to narrow down the intersection. Curb extensions are proposed at Barber and Viewpoint Terrace. At this location, Viewpoint Terrace is one way toward Barber. There are do not enter signs, a pavement arrow. People continue to drive the wrong way on that street. By constructing curb extensions there, we hope to stop that behavior. And lastly, there is a recommendation for a safety improvement at Condor Lane and Terwilliger, where it is seen that bicycle and auto conflicts are dangerous. This is just a map of the proposed improvements. Again, the yellow streets are the project streets. The ones in blue are the streets that are proposed for speed bumps. There's some purple circles that are the curb extensions, and the blue circle is a safety improvement at Condor and Terwilliger. There are some pink squares on there. Those are just some signing and striping issues that came out of comments from the area-wide public meetings for changes, say, to parking or minor changes. The overall project is expected to cost $150,000. Again, 70% will be funded by OHSU. They have verbally committed to this. We have not entered into an IGA yet, but they have agreed verbally. PDOT has in their budget the remaining 30% to fund these construction improvements. We would expect the speed bumps to be constructed sometime between now and October 2007. We are in the process of designing the curb extensions and expect them to be constructed winter of 2008. And then the safety improvement at Condor Lane would be constructed next summer, in the summer of 2008. Before I conclude my presentation, I'd just like to thank and acknowledge the Citizen Advisory Committee. They put in lots of hours. They worked for over a year on this project. That includes Angela Timmon from OHSU, Michael Carlson from the Veterans Administration, Walt Amaker, David Belts, Tom Doris, Ken Love, Marcy McAnally, Henry Milchuk, Lana Peth, Joseph Reedy, David Redlich, Jeff Hsu, Anton Vetterlein, and Maura Zeipelt. For staff recommendations, we support the Citizen Advisory Committee recommendations to construct the improvements as outlined in the plan report, which I believe is Exhibit A that you have there. We recommend that Council adopt recommendations in the Markham Hill Traffic Calming Plan, and we recommend that Council directs the city to enter into an IGA with OHSU to fund the improvements. Anton Vetterlein is here to say a few words as a CAC representative.
Thank you. Good morning. It's interesting that this comes to the Council today. It's exactly 5 years and one day from when the Markham Hill Plan was adopted. In that time, at the time the Markham Hill Plan was adopted, the neighborhood had asked for limits on traffic from OHSU, which we thought was consistent with OHSU's stated traffic goals. But that was denied us, but we were instead given this traffic calming plan as a mitigation for the traffic in the neighborhood. In the 5 years since the Markham Hill plan was adopted, three OHSU buildings have been built, and the tram, very technically and politically complicated. Those have all been built and constructed, and it's great to finally have this traffic calming plan coming through it finally. I just wanted to, had to point out that it's less than we wanted, but it's certainly, I'm certainly happy that we have this. We would have preferred to control the traffic at the source, but traffic calming, if that's what we can get, we'll take it. I'll take it. This plan, this traffic calming plan, was a result of a lot of public meetings and citizen input. I started organizing people a few years ago, anticipating this, I walked Hamilton Street getting petitions, signatures. I think I visited 48 different households several times, hoping to at least contact everybody, even though I had the number I needed. As Wendy said, the plan was called for in the Markham Hill plan, reiterated in the aerial tram. I think it's significant that OHSU is paying 70% of the cost. I think it's kind of an acknowledgement on their part of the part that traffic plays in our neighborhood and the need for mitigation, and I appreciate that. Some concern has been expressed that this plan was created without input from emergency medical service providers on the Hill, and I think that criticism is misplaced. Both OHSU and the VA hospital have been aware and involved in this project from the start, and they never communicated any concerns they had regarding emergency access. And certainly it would be disingenuous, I think, of OHSU to commit to a traffic calming plan as part of the Markham Hill plan and then to oppose it at this point. And they're not doing that. And in addition, all these streets are not designated as emergency medical access routes. So I think, the city's responsibility in that aspect has been covered. So I just urge you to adopt the plan. We've worked long and hard and waited for it for a long time, and we'd like to see it happen. Thank you.
Thanks for your tireless work on this and many other issues related to the quality of life and transportation issues in South Portland. Really appreciate it. This took a lot of effort and a lot of work over a long period of time. So
thank you.
Wendy Colley with the Office of Transportation. I do have two letters, one from the president of the Homestead Neighborhood Association and one from OHSU that the people who submitted them would like me to read. I could read them now, or if you have questions you'd like to ask first, I could read them later.
Are they letters of support?
They are letters of support.
We'll put them with the records, but we're running behind, so we'll just include them as part of the record for this.
That's fine. So are there any questions then?
Questions from the commissioners. Thank you, folks.
Good work.
Very good work. Was there a sign-up sheet?
We do. We have three people signed up. We have Jeff Hsu, David Redlich, and Marcy McAnally.
Please come forward. Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak, and you each have 3 minutes.
Jeff Hsu. I live on Viewpoint Terrace, and I'm going to be brief myself. I'd just like to say my issues is regarding what Wendy mentioned about people disregarding what is essentially a one-way entrance or one-way exit only on Viewpoint Terrace. This issue didn't exist when I first bought my house. The changes at Barber and Hamilton, the redesign of that intersection opened up the possibility of violations where cars turn up my street now with impunity from every direction that you can imagine. I've been trying to address this issue with the Neighborhood Association and the city for 10 years, so I'm quite pleased that it wasn't appended to this traffic calming plan. This issue has gotten so bad for me that I've been, and the lack of response has forced me to do something which I know the city doesn't condone, I know the police don't condone, but my only alternative was to stop traffic on my own, which I certainly didn't want to do. And I recall some traffic counts that were done after I actually had an officer write citations, counted like 100 cars a day turning up the street in the wrong direction. So to me, it's been a major livability issue. And considering the street is actually narrowed down to basically one lane at the exit, that means the incoming traffic is driving uphill past my house in the northbound in the southbound lane. So to me, it's a safety issue as well. And I think what I'll summarize with is from my perspective, at least, and I think from a lot of other people in the neighborhood, this is one of the few things that we've gotten for the neighborhood itself, for existing neighbors, for existing residents of the neighborhood as a result of the development around our neighborhood, including blocking views, including the tram over our heads. So I think it's imperative that this is supported because it is something that really makes our neighborhood more livable, and it seems to be the only thing we've really, really achieved. And there's been a lot of work by the Citizens Advisory Board to come up with what I think is a very usable plan. And I'll end with that. Thanks.
I'm Marcy McAnally. I live at 3845 Southwest Condor Avenue. And I'll be quick. I served on the CAC for this last year. And my husband and I and two of our neighbors took the petition around to collect signatures. And we were pleased that 100% of the property owners, including business owners, residents and renters on the route that would be affected by the traffic calming plan, signed the petition. And everyone had a personal story to tell about dangerous encounters with speeding, distracted, and rude drivers. So we welcome this plan. We have been waiting for this plan. These are necessary improvements. The CAC deliberated for a significant period of time and worked with the city closely to come up with this plan. And on our stretch, Condor Avenue, Condor Lane, it was unanimously supported. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is David Rutledge. I live at 3944 Southwest Condor Avenue. I've served as a president of the Homestead Neighborhood Association, secretary, and vice president. I served on the Homestead Transportation Committee chair. And I've been in the course of the last 20-odd years, I've participated in the Southwest Community Plan, numerous Homestead Neighborhood Plans, the Markham Hill Plan. I served and represented the neighborhood on the Tram CAC, and I also served on the Markham Hill Transportation or Traffic Calming Study CAC. I've been very disappointed with the City of Portland and particularly its bureaus throughout this process. They primarily act as agents of the developers and OHSU. Very little consideration has been given to the effects of OHSU and the other institutions on the surrounding neighborhoods. As you, I'm sure you know, there are five routes on and off that hill. All are narrow, winding streets, two-lane streets, some of which have no pedestrian facilities whatsoever. We've received empty promises from the City Council, as Anton mentioned. 5 years ago, the Markham Hill Plan mandated certain things. Here we are, and we're still going through the process of just an initial phase. Most of the heavy water that'll need to be carried later on to really address this problem is years down the road. One item in particular that just pops to mind is a connection of pedestrian access on Condor Lane, which is a Park Avenue service road, but it connects Condor Avenue with Twilliger. It's heavily used by pedestrians, including commuters to the institution on the top of the hill. There is no real pedestrian access. As we take a look at the timelines on this, any improvements to Condor Lane are years in the future. I just turned 53. You know, I would really like to use some of these improvements while I'm still able to walk. At the rate we are going, I don't think that's going to be possible. As I said, that the there's a great deal of need. And just to put this in comparison, the last figures I have, which date back to the Markham Hill plan, there's nearly 40,000 trips on and off the hill every day. To put that into perspective, there's about 42,000 trips that go across the Hawthorne Bridge every day. Yet the Hawthorne Bridge enters into an extensive traffic grid on both sides. This plan was so narrowly focused, studied, that two major intersections which contributed to the problem were left out of the plan, and I don't know when they'll be addressed. Those are the intersections at Southwest Campus Drive in Twilliger and at 6th Avenue in Gaines. I believe that a more cost-effective solution would be, for the price of a couple of 4x4 posts and some stop signs, at your consideration, I'd like to continue.
Yes.
We could prohibit right-hand turns from Campus Drive southbound onto Twilliger. That would reduce a substantial portion of the traffic that is using Twilliger and the streets identified in the studies. At the same time, if we prohibit left-hand turns from Twilliger northbound onto Campus Drive westbound uphill, we would also eliminate the incentive that commuters have to take these southerly routes. The Markham Hill plan calls for OHS utilize Sam Jackson Road and Twilliger north of Campus Drive. They are implementing nothing that addresses the problem to the south. Speed bumps, I feel, are a very poor solution, and particularly in this neighborhood. These streets are very narrow. They're steep. Most speed bumps are limited to streets under 8% grade. The city has promised us they have new speed bumps for steeper grades, but I really don't want to be the experiment that proves or disproves whether or not these speed bumps work. If we address the problem at the core, OHSU...
You are going to have to wind it down. I've given you an extra minute and a half.
All right. There are things that OHSU can do. For example, through conditions of employment agreement, they can prohibit their employees from using the neighborhood streets and stay on the streets that they're supposed to. Sam Jackson Hospital uses a similar plan for controlling their on-street neighborhood parking problem. You'll see in your Exhibit A that there's a recommendation for one-way circulation on Hamilton and Condor. This will just further balkanize our neighborhood and inhibit inter-neighborhood circulation. There is a signage, hospital signage, at Lane Street and Barber. This simply directs more traffic on the residential neighborhood streets when it should be using Sam Jackson as called for in the Markham Hill plan. And lastly, funding. This is an OHSU problem. They should pay for it, not the taxpayers. So I would recommend that you ask them to fund it 100%. Number two, I want to accelerate the planning process to take a look at the intersections at Southwest Campus Drive and Twilliger and
sir,
Southwest.
You are officially done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And what I would suggest is if you could put this in writing, you've got very good information and good ideas, but is it in writing where we could look at it?
I could supply you with that, yes.
That would be appreciated.
Would you postpone your decision on this and to time for me to have that get that to you?
Mr. Adams.
Well, we would look to the folks that have been in part of the process if you want to postpone this decision. Those of you that have been part of this.
I have a question about the OHSU parking in the neighborhood. Don't you have residential parking permits?
We do. And so in most of the neighborhood, that has been addressed as far as OHSU actually parking in our neighborhood. What we're trying to do is control the through traffic. It was exacerbated by a previous city council, which under the Markham Hill plan increased the number of parking places allowed on the top of the hill.
So the issue, you weren't describing an issue of people parking in your neighborhood. You were just talking about them using it as a
No, what I was referring to was a tool that OHSU could use to control its employees as far as transiting through the residential portions of the neighborhood that are actually not called for under the Markham Hill Plan. An example would be the system that Good Sam uses to control their neighborhood parking problem. And they make it a condition of employment that if you are caught parking out in the neighborhood, as opposed into one of their structures or some other permitted area, you would be first counseled with a warning, and then ultimately they've told me...
But you're describing parking.
That was for parking, but it's a tool that can be also used for transiting. I mean, OHSU has a safety staff. They have to have little parking stickers to park up in the OHSU facilities.
You would actually
so all they have to do is make this a condition of employment and then say, all right, public safety staff, you know, if you see an OHS employee driving through the neighborhood, that constitutes your first warning, and then a process starts from then.
I'm not sure I buy off on that. That's somewhat draconian. I get the idea.
Well, the problem is draconian.
So
it really is.
The choice we have, because we've got a long list of things still to consider here. I mean, the choice we have is to not vote on this today and continue the processing, or we can view the vote today as sort of putting in the policy bank the work that's been done thus far. And obviously, this is just a milepost in what is a big, big continuing problem. But this has been a long time in coming. Since I took over in transportation, I've tried to speed it along so at least we get some progress on the books, and the work has to continue. There's a lot of work yet to be accomplished. So I wouldn't take this, David, as this is the end of the effort. This is simply banking a certain amount of policy work that's been done, and our work has to continue.
It's also spending money now that could be better used for example, pedestrian access at critical areas, crossings and things like
My
that.
My understanding is that this work has been, the conversation had been a facilitated conversation with, I mean, we've worked with the community, is my understanding. I inherited this project. We worked with the community to come up with what's before us today. I don't think anyone, they're shaking their heads behind you, that is your colleagues in the neighborhoods, would say that this is the end all. But I don't want listeners or viewers of this to think that this is something that we're just imposing on the neighborhood. This is the work of a partnership. Would you like to comment?
Yes, it's a partnership, the result of a partnership, and I think we see this as the first and a very important step that shouldn't be postponed. It does not preclude some of the things that David is talking about from being considered in the future.
I agree. Do we have anybody else signed up to testify?
That was all who signed up.
Okay. It's okay if the council would like to call the vote. Please call
thank
the
you.
Vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank everyone who's worked on this. I'm happy to get some direction on the books, some policy direction on the books that then make it possible to get money applied to some of these problems. Clearly, no one testifying today, no one presenting today, tried to portray this as the end all. This is another step on the way. We still have a lot more work to do in South Portland. South Portland circulation, transportation, half the busy streets don't have sidewalks. I mean, this is an area of Portland that needs a lot of investment, and I'm engaged in a conversation with the community to look at the transportation priorities in South Portland and all over the city and funding options. So I'm hopeful that you will join me and the council in bringing more resources to bear on and more investments to bear on these problems. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work. This is a lot of progress. Aye.
Potter?
Aye, and I'd also like to say I like some of the ideas, David, that you had, particularly some of the low-cost ones such as no left turns at Twilliger and Campus Drive. That seems to make a lot of sense. So I'll be talking with the Commissioner of PDOT about that. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please read item 841 and 42 together.
841, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for project management and finance planning services related to the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. 842, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for design and civil engineering related to the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
So if Vicki, you could give us 15 seconds of summary of what this is and be available, you and Greg, to answer any questions.
Absolutely. The two amendments with Portland Streetcar, Inc., the work that it's called for was anticipated during the city's solicitation process for the professional services. The amendments really merely recognize the fact that we've received the federal money, which we need to do before we can obligate the work. It's one of the challenges of working with the feds. You know how much is coming, but you don't know when you're going to get it. So,
well done.
Questions?
Questions from the commissioners? Was anybody assigned to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this one.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify on this matter? Okay. Please call the vote. On 841.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Seltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please call the vote on 842.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Seltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 843.
Update cable communication regulations.
Commissioner Saltzman?
This ordinance is essentially a housekeeping ordinance. It cleans up certain things like changing the name of the Cable Regulatory Commission to its proper name, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, et cetera. It's nothing substantive.
Any questions from the commissioners? Was anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify on this matter? It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 844.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon to accept $25,000 to encourage sustainable economic development through the public-private collaborative partnership called PDX Lounge.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, we are grateful the State of Oregon has decided to join PDX Lounge in Chicago at the U.S. Green Building Council's Green Build Conference in November of 07. Both myself and Mayor Potter will be attending that conference. It was a very successful, the PDX Lounge, very successful public and private organizations from Oregon committing to meeting other business and industry professionals and also developing economic leads, but doing so in a very laid-back, casual atmosphere outside of the convention center in a building that will look like a Portland neighborhood. So we're welcome, State of Oregon, joining us.
Did we have a sign-up sheet?
We did. No one signed up.
Okay. It's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 845.
Consent to transfer of Argay Disposal Service, LLC, residential solid waste and recycling collection franchise to Heiberg Garbage and Recycling.
Second reading vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 846.
Authorize a contract and provide for payment for the renovation of Patton Square Park.
Mr. Saltzman?
This is the result of a community design workshop for Patton Square Park, which is adjacent to the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. The funding for this will come from urban renewal funds, and the design will complement the historic Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. Urge
any
approval.
Questions, commissioners? Anybody here who wishes to testify on this matter? It's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 847.
Authorize delayed compliance for payment and performance bonds pursuant to ORS 279C.390 and City Code 5.34.690A. for the Ed Benedict and Gabriel Park Skate Park design build contracts.
Mr. Saltzman.
We've learned as we've been building more skate parks about the need and desire to use smaller businesses who really specialize in these designs. They need more flexibility in the performance bonding, and that's what this does pursuant to state law.
Questions? Anybody here who wish to testify to this matter? It's emergency vote. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 848.
Authorize contract with 2KG contractors for $929,087 for the combined pool improvements to Matt Dishman, Mount Scott, and Southwest Community Centers and Pier Pools.
Commissioner Salzman? I think pretty self-evident. This is additional work at our pools.
Anyone here who wish to testify to this matter? It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 849.
Amend contract with Gene Lawson Associates for $6,600 for mediation services.
Second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 850.
Remove an absent member and approve the appointment of a replacement to the Citizens Review Committee of the Independent Police Review Division.
Auditor Blackmer.
Good afternoon, members of council. Gary Blackmer, Portland City Auditor, and with me is Marcella Red Thunder and Hank Miggins, the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. Just briefly, we had a member of our committee who missed the last seven meetings, and we want to keep our full force in terms of the committee, and so we're asking the council to remove that absent member on the CRC and replace her with Marcella Red Thunder, who was a member in good standing before this. So I'll hand it over to Hank and then.
Good morning. At present, there is no procedure for us to remove a CRC member who's not performing up to the standards that you expect in your ordinance. The CRC is currently working on a process which we will be presenting to the auditor at some point, where we will eliminate the hard process of coming back to see you each time something like it happens. And the second part of my statement is I want to welcome Ms. Red Thunder back to the CRC.
Is it my turn? My name is Marcella Red Thunder, and I am enrolled in a federally recognized tribe, the Siston-Wahpeton Lakota Tribe in South Dakota. Both my parents are also enrolled members of federally recognized tribes, and both my grandparents were schooled and educated in Indian schools back east and at Chemawa and graduated. I continue a long line of trying to represent the Native Americans in the city of Portland. 30 years ago, my father was in charge of the Columbia Villa, and Mayor Potter was the beat officer. My father remembers working with Mayor Potter. So I feel as uncomfortable as I feel having been in the position that I was, because we have so few Native Americans in any kind of area, such as the important area that I've been asked to fill. It took 2 years for me to be able to be comfortable and do the job and understand the duties that myself bringing a different culture and representing the Native Americans in the community. It was a fight. And I want to acknowledge a great deal of support from Dan Handelman and from Gwen Baldwin, who, if it weren't for their support at the time, and I'm sure they are not aware of this at all, we have a very different culture, I would like to continually say, and that's why it's so important to that I am here and that I decided 100 times to quit and continue on, because I believe that there are people who are ready for a change such as this. Gary Blackmer has afforded me the opportunity to speak out in my own language, which is very different, although it is English. But people seem to be open, and I just want to say how difficult this has been for me in the way that I lost my position. But I'm just very excited that we have an appeals on Tuesday and that I have the opportunity in the next couple days to read the case and investigate in the manner that I feel is important for myself, for our community, and for our Native American community. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Has anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is anyone here who wishes to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, Marcel, I was very proud to nominate you the first time, and I'm very happy to vote yes for your reappointment. And look forward to your great work. So thank you for agreeing to do this. It's very important task. Aye.
Leonard?
I appreciate your compassion. It's great. Aye.
Saltzman?
I appreciate that you're a mechanic. I bet you're the only one on the CRC. Anyway, welcome back.
Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you.
Potter?
Ms. Red Thunder, thank you for willing to serve on this committee. It's a very important committee, and I know that you understand it because you have really struggled with the whole issue of police in our community, and I look forward to you being an honest and open advocate, not just for the Native American community, but for all of our community.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Aye. Thank you. We're adjourned until next week.
Thank you.